And coming at you live from WRAR Studios, we have Miss Anna Edwards with the Defenders Live. Let's hear what Miss Anna has to say. Anna, take it away.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now.
And good afternoon, Richmond. You are listening to The Defenders Live, and I am your host, Anna Edwards, and today is Monday. Defenders Live is brought to you as a production of the Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality, and you can learn more at defendersfje.org and defendersfje.blogspot.com. It's on the blog that you'll find updates for things that are coming up, activities, actions, issues, commentary, things that we would like you to know about, in addition to the recent issue of the Virginia Defender newspaper. In conjunction between the websites and this program and the newspaper, I think you'll find that we try to cover issues that range from the local to the international and from the contemporary to the future, and all based upon what's happened before us, right? History. History plays a role in everything because we obviously stand here as a result of history. So a couple of the things that we're going to talk about today have to do with our historic engagement in different issues. One of them percolated up very quickly in the lifespan of the Defenders, which, by the way, is actually observing its 10-year anniversary this year. The Defenders is 10 years old. In that first and second year, we got involved with Queen Zakia Shabazz. She is the national director and founder of United Parents Against Lead. And her fight at that time was to get the Richmond Department of Health to comply with the HUD grant that it had in order to do lead abatement work in housing in the city of Richmond. As a result of the investigation and the pressure, it turned out that the city of Richmond was not actually able to fulfill its end of the deal, and they lost the HUD grant. UPAL succeeded in receiving a LEAP grant the following year. I think it was in 2004. And as a result of that, was able to do remediation and abatement work for the next 2 years. Petersburg is now an area that the United Parents Against Lead group is working. They do training for contractors who do lead abatement work in conjunction with the funding and program through the federal government. And the work that they have been doing in Petersburg also means that they are sort of clued into what's happening in terms of lead and other environmental issues. And the one that comes up this time is mold. Mold is one of those issues. As people are suffering more and more from allergies, mold is turning out to be one that is has a profound effect, and as usual, is particularly damaging for children. There has been a petition circulating since July this summer called Job Creation, Not Job Elimination. But what it's really about is mold. And the text of this petition is brief, and so I will read it. Many lives are at stake if Virginia's governor allows homes to be inspected and undergo remediation of mold hazards by unlicensed and non-certified contractors. Effective July 1, 2012, mold remediation and mold inspection will revert to being unregulated professions, meaning state credentials will not be required to perform those activities. Mold, an environmental hazard, has many health effects, is life-threatening, and causes excessive damage to property. All of these can be exacerbated if not treated by properly trained professionals. This deregulation also disenfranchises those contractors and training providers who took the initiative to create jobs for themselves and for others in this troubled economy. Instead of Governor McDonald creating jobs, he is systematically eliminating them. And then there is a request for you to sign that petition. Live with me by telephone interview today is Queen Zakiya Shabazz, again, founder and director of National United Parents Against Lead. And Zakiya, I would like to welcome you to the show.
Good morning, Anna, and thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Good, good. Well, I'm sorry that you had to do this from off-site today, but I'm delighted that that our technology is such that we can have you chatting with us today.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much. I had a mishap and sprained both ankles, but can't let that stop me.
That's right. That's right. Now we have the means. So, well, I just read the text of the petition, and it kind of covers two things, you know, at once. It talks about the problem with mold, and then the additional problem with the sort of thwarting of the economic opportunity that was presented by some of the funding that does come into the state as a result of needing to do mold remediation and environmental work. What is your hope right now? This petition was made in July, and we're still working on it. And but what are you hoping for right now?
Yes. Well, I guess I would start by saying I'm pretty ambitious, and we initially sought to get 1,000 signatures to the petition. So as you say, we're still working on it. Our main goal is to have the deregulation, have it overturned, and have the mold regulations put back in place as they were before. There are 20 providers who provided this type of training that were licensed by the Department of Professional and Occupation Regulations, and those 20 providers, including United Parents Against Lead, provide the training for contractors to go in and test the homes for the presence of mold and then to safely remediate. But that has all been thrown aside, and basically the governor has Mr. Gordon Dixon write us from DPOR saying that there's no single standard for mold. And my question is, well, what were you going on before? What were you basing
right.
your regulations on to come with that? And we know that the National Institutes of Health, CDC, EPA, and HUD all have regulations that were coinciding with those that we used here in the state of Virginia. So it really just doesn't make sense.
Have you been able to figure out what maybe some of the motivation for that, for the need to do this deregulation was?
Yes, it was based on Governor McDonald's Commission on Government Reform and Restructuring. They got a recommendation and General Assembly passed the legislation for them to repeal the regulatory program, and there were others involved along with the mold. And the mold just happened to get caught up in that whole process.
Right, and of course, deregulation is one of the issues that comes up repeatedly in terms of some of the what some, you know, up in the electoral hill like to refer to as reducing government. In the lives of I think free trade and business, but in fact, it sounds like this was just an easy way to try and look like they were saving some money, when in fact it may actually be damaging to people's lives.
Exactly, and that's our whole point. It is damaging, and how do you put something in place and clearly state the hazards and the dangers and the need for it, and then just with the stroke of a pen say it's no longer hazard, no longer needed. We have no industry standard.
Right. Now, in conjunction with this has been the reporting on the work that has been done in Petersburg. Your focus in this at this particular time has been in the Petersburg area, the Crater Health District, and the fact that apparently the grant that Petersburg received to do mold remediation work has not actually been utilized.
Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Petersburg received $1.1 million grant from HUD, and that grant was awarded in November 2011. Here we are, November 2012, and no activity starting on the project other than to have an interview with prospective contractors, which was conducted September 21st. And the contractors were supposed to have been notified within 2 weeks of that date of September 21st. That has not happened yet. Each time you call, it's another 2 weeks, it's another 2 weeks. And here we are a year into this grant, and even the Petersburg residents, and I hope they are part of your listening audience, so we would urge them to call in and start asking questions about, you know, what is happening with the funding.
Mm-hmm.
And the grant expires October of 2014. It calls for 83 housing inspections, 43 risk assessments, and 43 units to be remediated under that grant, as well as some healthy home portions. And to date, no inspections or risk assessments have been done. No children have been identified, and the 43 units have not been identified.
Right. And, you know, it may seem like a three-year grant, or really, in effect, I think a two-year grant, would be enough time to take care of 43 houses. But if they've taken a year to only do something that it should have only taken a couple of weeks, then obviously the forecast is not good.
That's right. And as you are familiar with what happened with the city of Richmond a few years back, it was a very similar situation where Richmond had actually even started the work on their houses, but HUD came in and rescinded millions of dollars from the city of Richmond for the same purpose, to remediate lead hazards. And I've written to HUD and voiced our opinion and asked why has there been no activity during the grant. HUD tells us that they have confidence in the grantee, and still, you know, we're not getting anything done, we're not seeing anything done. So I think it shows a lack of moral conscience, a lack of political will, because I also sent a letter to elected officials in Petersburg. I've been checking and calling and emailing and just get no response. And there's nothing being done, and it's a travesty for the residents of the city of Petersburg to have this funds available and have it not being used for what it's intended for, while meanwhile children are getting poisoned every day.
Right. Have you been in touch with some of the homeowners who would likely be, you know, beneficiaries of this particular program?
I have not as yet, but that is our next point. After we wrote HUD and they kind of said, they had faith, we wanted to not jump the gun, but give them an opportunity to do what they're supposed to do and what they say that they would do. But now we're to the point that will be our next move. In about 2 weeks, we will be having a press conference in front of the planning department in Petersburg.
Mm-hmm.
And we will urge them, and we will, you know, send that to the media and let the word be, you know, get out that way with parents and with homeowners in the city of Petersburg to know that these funds are valuable, and to start calling the planning department and asking what's going on.
Right. Now, how do you have some of those numbers and contact information? How would we get to people information about how to do that, how to reach out to the city planners
So the planning department number, the director of the program, her name is Sharon Williams, and it's the community planning department. The number is 804-733-2308.
Her name is Sharon Williams, and she is, what's her title again?
Director of Community Planning and Development.
Okay, and her number is 804-733-2308. Very good. And can people find more information on your website as well?
Yes, our website is www.upal.org. And when you log on, I'm right on our welcoming page to go back to the mold issue. You can sign and log on to the petition and add your support. That is going to go to Governor McDonald regarding reinstituting the lead.
That's right, and that's a change. That's a change.org petition. That's right. I'm going to take just a second to let people know that they are listening to The Defenders Live here on WRIR 97.3. It's LPFM, Richmond's radio for the rest of us. And we are here for you. DefendersFJE.org and DefendersFJE.blogspot.com to learn more. And my guest today is Queen Zakiya Shabazz. She is the founding director, national director of United Parents Against Lead. That's UPAL. Their website is upal.org. And we are talking today sort of about a multi-pronged approach to an environmental concern, but also one about fiscal responsibility between sort of the federal and the state and local level, and its impact on the economy. I mean, one of the I kind of want to just touch a little bit on that you know that aspect of it is that you know, in a time when jobs are so scarce and they keep encouraging people to be entrepreneurial and to, you know, look out for, you know, what's available, what's out there, here was an opportunity to do good in several directions. You know, one was that there was money that was going to come in, that comes into the state. It's money to alleviate a real health hazard, and to hopefully focus attention on real environmental concerns in our urban environments, and at the same time provide the opportunity for people to take the initiative to become trained, become certified, so that they are, you know, adequate representatives of the best that science and technology have to offer in terms of ameliorating the problems of mold. Mold in housing. So, Zakiya, when you took this on, I know that you have worked primarily in lead, and one of the reasons for that, of course, is that you have a child who was lead poisoned, and you have become over the last, you know, 10 years, a real champion and a national champion of the issue of lead poisoning in children. What led you to work in you know, move from Richmond to working in the Petersburg area, and then how did mold become sort of a part of your focus?
Yes, ma'am. As you say, my son was poisoned by lead in 1996, and I guess about 5 years ago we decided that there were other environmental hazards that were affecting our communities, our homes, and so we included mold as an area that we wanted to address, along with asbestos, and just looking to create overall healthy homes and healthy environments.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the mold became a part of it. And you touched on so many good points as far as the creating jobs. We as one of the 20 training providers, trained several contractors who went on to start their own businesses. And with the governor, a government that always talks about job creation, here's one instance where they're actually eliminating jobs and causing hardship in the time of you know, this of economic strife,
right,
and scarcity of jobs. It just, you know, it just doesn't coincide with what they preach.
And are you finding that I mean, one of the things that it makes me think of is, okay, they've decided to deregulate this industry, but does it automatically mean that people wouldn't be interested in searching for someone who does have some kind of certification? It's like, if it does exist, then wouldn't you want somebody who has gone through some real training?
That would be what that's my thinking, and that you certainly want someone. It's more beneficial for someone to knock on your door that is certified. You know, we see all kind of housing scams of people taking advantage of the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And so this now leaves opportunity for that, because you don't want someone to come into your house that's not equipped and not trained on how to remediate the hazard, which will only exacerbate it, you know, make it worse, create additional exposure for your family.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a win-win situation all the way around when they were ensuring that people be trained and certified. And like you said, it brought money into the state because they had to, in turn, pay EPOR for their license,
mm-hmm,
and for the testing. So it just, again, it just doesn't make sense why they would even come up with that but then I guess it depends on, you know, who it's affecting.
That's right. That's right. And of course, we know that typically speaking, the people who are affected by these kinds of problems and would need that kind of assistance are the poor and working poor.
Exactly. And so it was one that was earmarked to be alleviated, and they went ahead and said, well, you know, this is not needed. We're going to be regulated, although there was overwhelming evidence. We've tested so many homes, and with the recent floods and storms in Richmond, there's a lot of homes that have been flooded.
That's
have
right.
Have water damage.
That's
moisture
right.
Moisture damage, which creates the mold problem. And the health hazards are, you know, astronomical.
So I would you would hope then that I think that's a really good point, that after Hurricane Sandy and after the flooding and after this is something that we do go through every year, frankly, there's always some place in Virginia that's getting flooded every year. But in particular, this one has drawn a lot of attention to, you know, ongoing and increased possibility for this kind of damage to homes, and that we should be paying attention to it. And possibly maybe there's a little bit more of receptiveness on the part of the general public and those people who are seeing that they may be threatened by problems with the development of mold in their homes and other environmental hazards. So maybe there's a wave of support that is just sort of waiting to realize that there is somebody who's taking up this issue.
Yes, ma'am, and it's all a matter of getting the word out. You know, we believe in the public right to know, and in most instances, the public has a need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, these measures are taken quietly, covertly, and those who need to know don't get the information. So that's what we try to do, is at least let people know what they're dealing with so that they can make a conscious decision.
Yeah, it's very helpful. I mean, because one of the reasons that I realize that I don't understand a lot of things that happen, things slip by, legislation slips by, changes to legislation slips by. And some of it is simply because of the language that they use. They will say that, you know, as a part of this, we are required to give public notice. And so they give public notice, but they give public notice in this really bizarre legal language. And and it's impossible to understand what they are saying or what the change, you know, it's like we rescind article, you know, 33.72 subpart, you know, whatever. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. It's like you don't know what they're talking about, and they don't have to explain it any further.
That's right. They don't put it in so-called layman's terms and clarify it so that, you know, the average person can understand it, so it makes you think that they're hiding something.
That's
or
right.
they're sandwiching it in with other issues where we don't even think that it affects us, and then it's a 50-page or more document that no one has time to read through.
That's right. Not even the legislators.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And half the time, they don't know what they've been voting on, because if so, I wonder how many of them would have really went along with this deregulation if they had known.
That's right.
What they were signing.
That's right. Well, Zakiya, I want to thank you for being on the show and bringing attention to this issue. And I want to have you remind people, you know, where they can get more information and who they need to call.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Please call. I mean, check on to www.upal.org to sign the petition on the mold deregulation. And you can call Ms. Sharon Williams at Community Planning Development. She's the director in Petersburg. Her number is 804-733-2308. And I urge parents and homeowners to ask what is happening with the HUD-led grant. When are you going to get started on that? And there's also a number you can call HUD, the director, John Gant, the Office of Healthy Homes, and that has the control. His number is 202-708-0310, extension 7025, and his name is John Gant.
John
Gant. And
you
can call United Parents Against Lead at 804-308-1518.
And we will have that information on our blog as well. And, of course, again, www.upal.org for more. All right, Zakiya, thank you once again for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you so much, Anna. The same here. Appreciate everything that you do. Keep up the great work.
And you too. All right.
Thank
Talk to you soon.
Good day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Queen Zakiya Shabazz, founding director of United Parents Against Lead. She joined us by telephone from her home. And again, pointing out the issue of the problems that we continue to have with mold and lead poisoning in our communities and the steps that are being taken to deal with it, but also the challenges that face people who are trying to make sure that there are some solutions. The political gyrations that you go up against with legislation. But in the meantime, you can get involved and learn more if you are interested by visiting her website and, of course, by checking on that petition and making those calls and finding out. Ask the questions. You know, you don't have to take her word for it. You can ask the questions of the people from the numbers and information that she gave you. And again, we will have that posted on our website as well. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I'd like to also just give everyone a quick reminder about the trial of Ashley Williams, which is coming up on November 28th. We're trying to get as many people there as possible. 9 a.m. Wednesday, November 28th, courtroom 307 in the John Marshall Courts building at 400 North 9th Street. That information will also be on our website. I want to thank you once again for tuning in to Defenders Live. I look forward to talking to you next week, where we are delighted to bring to you Gloria Rolando. She is a Cuban filmmaker who will be in town for 2 days only with a screening of a film about a very interesting historic event in Cuba in 1912. So please join us next week. I look forward to talking to you then. Remember to keep up the struggle and that kindness does matter. Thanks.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now.